This sermon was preached at St Paul's Anglican Church on Sunday the 7th of May, the day after the coronation of King Charles III. Those worshipping in St Paul's today will see that the hymns have tunes named after the four nations that constitute the United Kingdom: Crimond from Scotland, Londonderry for Northern Ireland, Cwmronda and Blandwern from the great hymn-singing country of Wales, and to represent England, a hymn tune known as Westminster Abbey. Tens of millions of eyes worldwide would have become familiar with Westminster Abbey as the coronation of King Charles III and Queen Camilla, as she now is, unfolded. It may now be the best-known church in the world, ranking alongside St Peter's Basilica in Rome. The Abbey has so many extraordinary features: the shrine of St Edward the Confessor, the burial place of so many kings and queens, the tomb of the unknown warrior, Poet's Corner, where some of the greatest literary giants are remembered. The Abbey is also home to a staggering array of other memorials to well-known people, celebrities in their own day. I would like to take you to just one such memorial in particular, that of the great 17th century musician Henry Purcell. Dido and Aeneas, the Fairy Queen, come ye sons of art, hail, hail bright Cecilia, the funeral sentences, and literally dozens and dozens more compositions. He was a 17th century superstar, and he would have had his own fan club, as celebrities do today, just not on the same social media scale. His memorial stone in the Abbey makes interesting reading, and perhaps points us to something that will enlighten us on the weekend of a king's coronation. This is how the memorial reads: "Here lies Henry Purcell, Esquire, who left this life and has gone to that blessed place where only his harmony can be exceeded." These words celebrate a musician at the very top of his game. One might think that no music could be more sublime. Yet he has passed to a place where even his music is exceeded, in tune with heaven, and the chorus of the angels and archangels, and all the heavenly host, as they glorify the majesty of God. These memorial sentiments direct us to a right balance in the aftermath of yesterday's national celebration of monarchy, with its elaborate religious ceremonies. St Paul's Church in Athens has a congregation that is a very diverse congregation, and we have members who would have been glued to the television screen yesterday, right through to those for whom, understandably, there might not be even a muted interest. Such is life's rich complexity. But wherever we are on the spectrum, I'd like to suggest at least two things that we might learn from yesterday's coronation ceremony, things that we would be wise to heed and understand. The first point is this: Purcell's memorial words assist us with this, and I will put it plainly. King Charles III's majesty is exceeded by that of our heavenly King, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. However, we need to be just a little more analytical. One of the most solemn moments in the coronation ceremony is that of the anointing with the oil of chrism. This is a moment so solemn that it is done out of public view, a moment when an earthly king is anointed in a sacramental act, a reality not so much a hidden secret, but rather a mystery. A mystery that is announcing something profound about the alchemy of humanity sharing in the glory of God. In his anointing, there is an anointing of God's people. The Old Testament has such moments that we might recall. David, Israel's first king, is anointed. Anointed to set him apart for service of the people. Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anointed Solomon king, words that were sung yesterday at the Abbey in that sublime anthem by George Frederick Handel. I've sung it so many times as a young chorister. These kings were anointed not in any sense to separate them from the people, nor indeed to deify them in any way, but to locate, to place them somewhere with a task, a calling, a responsibility. A responsibility that is expressed through service. This action of holy anointing of Hebrew kings reminds us of nothing less than the anointing with oil at our own baptism. In the new dispensation of which the crucified and risen Christ is king, we have a new dignity and share in a royal priesthood. The first great Holy Roman Emperor, often called the father of Europe, Charlemagne, remarked that he may have been crowned and anointed in a great cathedral church in Aachen, but far more important for him was his anointing at his baptism. In the splendour of a coronation of Westminster Abbey, there is an intimate moment, and a moment when His Majesty, King Charles III, is reminded of his baptism, his dependency on God, to whom he is and will be faithful, and of his being set apart for the holy work of service to others. He learnt that first on his mother's lap. So it is to service that we attend for the second point I would make. It is nothing less than a divine alchemy that brings service and leadership so closely together, but not surprising, for it is in a servant king that we trust, Jesus Christ. By his words, actions, and especially in his crucifixion, God is revealing in Jesus what power truly is. The resonances of the anointing once again come to the forefront, being set apart not for superiority, but for service, service of God's kingdom. The clue to what King Charles may make of his coronation may be found in words anonymously composed, but they are the King's prayer. God of compassion and mercy, whose Son was sent not to be served but to serve, give grace that I may find in thy service perfect freedom, and in that freedom knowledge of thy truth. Grant that I may be a blessing to all thy children, of every faith and conviction, that together we may discover the ways of gentleness and be led to the paths of peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. It sounds to me, and I hope to all of us, that King Charles has got it right, and I'm sure none of us could disagree with his heartfelt prayer offered in faith. Whatever we may make of yesterday's ceremony and ceremonials, the King's Prayer is one to which we could all subscribe. And in some strange way, His Majesty is understood in the real context of a royal priesthood into which we are all crowned at baptism, and most certainly as an imprint in all humanity as icons of God our Creator. That majesty here on earth can only be surpassed by God's majesty in heaven. Here lies Henry Purcell, Esquire, who left this life and has gone to that blessed place where only his harmony can be exceeded. Amen.